This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. Today is World Radio Day. I'm Frida Liu. So on TikTok, we're exploring the medium that turned culture pop's Matt Armstrong and alienated geek into a global megastar with the cultural clout of Mark Zuckerberg. Obviously, Matt has been curating his own podcasts rather than living in the real world. Well, this year's theme for Radio Day is youth. And why do you think it's so important to focus on the young? We need to know from you, Matt.
I know, because I am so young. And I have so much cultural clout. I can't get Mark Zuckerberg off WhatsApp. I mean, it's just painful, absolutely painful. Any time of the day or night. Anyway, one of the weird things about our show is that, you know, we sit here in a radio studio and we talk about things like virtual reality, artificial intelligence, 3D TVs, and all of these new technologies that exist primarily in the visual realm. But nobody can actually see us. You know, we come into your cars, your houses, your headphones, but largely we're invisible, you know. As usual, Jeff is only wearing underwear as he sits here in the studio.
Blue today,
yes. But, you know, nobody cares because it's about his voice. It's about his knowledge. How many of our listeners know that I've had experimental skin grafts to cover 80% of the surface of my body in cat fur? You know, on radio, I just sound completely normal. We tend to think of radio as an old technology, and obviously it is. It's been around for over 100 years, but there's really nothing old-fashioned about it. It delivers the latest news, it delivers trends, it delivers music to hundreds of million, if not billions of people every single day. And there's a great infographic on the World Radio Day website, and one of the stats it runs through is that 80% of farmers across Africa have access to a radio versus only 18% that have mobile phone access and only 3% who have computer access. And when you also look at the fact that over 50% of the world's population is under 30 and the majority of those people live in developing nations, radio is still a really important and very, very potent tool.
Right. You know, even in developing countries like Malaysia, aren't younger people more interested in the internet and video than in radio?
Well, we often seem to have these kind of discussions. You know, people who say they don't watch TV because they download the shows and binge watch them. You know, they're still watching something that was created as a TV show. It doesn't matter if you watch it on a tablet or some giant LED screen. It's still TV. And radio is increasingly moving into that space as well. You know, shows are recorded and they can be streamed back at your leisure.
Yeah, which is a podcast, right? So just, you know, some stats in BFM, because we do podcasts, you know, for all our shows. Over 10 million podcast downloads annually, just for all the BFM shows, not just for TikTok.
Really? That many?
Yeah. 10 million annually, yeah.
And I would safely say the highest, you know, downloaded podcast is The Geek Squawk with Matt Armitage. And I'm surprised that this show is just not yet sponsored.
Exactly. And 9.8 million, I think, is actually the downloads for Geek Squawk.
Yeah. And 30,000 daily downloads, actually, of BFM podcast.
That shows you the kind of level of activity. So I don't see this as being a kind of a young versus old thing. I think people are still as interested in radio. It's just they're looking at different ways of listening.
Okay, now there's another statistic on the Radio Day website which states that young people are about 30% more likely to listen to radio online.
And I think that's a very important statistic, and it's one that obviously we're going to see rise. The internet means we can listen to radio stations, podcasts, from across the globe. We aren't limited to the stations on our radio dial anymore. And that has profound implications, not only for the listeners, but for the stations as well. Like many of us, you know, I can plug my phone into the car stereo during my commute. With apps like TuneIn Radio, that means I can access thousands of radio stations, you know, over 3 and 4G. So as well as BFM, which is my main station, of course, you know, I have access to the world, which for me generally means stations from the UK's BBC. But that also means that radio stations already have to look at their audience and start building programming, either that specifically brings in a local audience or find a way that they're going to compete globally.
All right. Now, one of the purposes of today is to look at ways to involve more young people in radio.
Well, there's quite a few different ways of looking at this. I mean, one of the discussions I heard earlier was about having more shows produced and having content sourced by younger journalists. And that's kind of a double-edged sword. Yes, you know, we want more young people to be involved in radio. We want them listening. We want them working on it. We want them broadcasting it. But there is still that element of training. There's still that element of journalistic ethics. There's still that
age and experience.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, like I said, it's a double-edged sword. You want to involve more young people in program making, but at the same time, there's a level of training that has to be given. And like I said, the ethics are very, very important. And for example, I mean, BFM has its own active internship program.
Yeah, and even for, well, we'll get to the point where, we'll get to the part where we talk about what the interns here in BFM do, but even the former interns, they actually set up a Facebook group and they actually discuss and they get together still. So there's that whole community that's engaged. Mm. Even here in BFM, like some of the shows, like Current Affairs in the Morning that you hear, which is, you know, really groundbreaking in terms of how they go into, you know, detail of recent news. Half of the show is produced and by Sharad's interns, but you know that's the whole point. We engage them, you know, we give them this topic, and like you go and you know find this story, get the phone interview done, speak to this person, you speak to whoever that you know we want to cover, and you know they will do the editing and they will have their own concept of how the show should look to should sound like.
But at the same time, they still have the guidance and
exactly, because you know we give them feedback, as in you know this direction doesn't work for you know for our listeners. You gotta you know approach it this way and that way, and you will see that after I think about two or three times when they you know get the hang of it, they actually have that we will actually get sort of like that you know that very subtle reverse mentoring program because you know they've got some ideas that we just
we all fogies don't know about.
Absolutely. Yes.
And it's you know it's just so much work involved in something that goes on air for say 15 minutes right now. So we talk about different ways to listen to radio. Last year there was something of a renaissance in terms of interest in standalone podcasts.
Yes, so podcasts are basically shows that you download or stream from your mobile phones and all that. Some shows are you know like Matt said they have already been aired on live radio, like our podcast on BFM.my, and then there are some shows that are specifically made just for online. So they either you know they don't have a frequency module or they don't even have like an online radio. They just do the show, post it online. So the first one actually is Serial. I think I've spoken about Serial before. It's one of the best podcasts ever created for me personally. And it's sort of what made me started listening to a whole bunch of different podcasts. So in case if you've forgotten, Serial is actually a podcast from the creators of This American Life. It's another great podcast series, by the way. And it's hosted by now celebrity Sarah Koenig. So it actually tells one story, a true story, over the course of a season. And season one, which was for 12 weeks, 12 episodes, the story was around the murder case of Hae Min Lee. She was a popular high school senior, disappeared after school one day in 1999. 6 weeks later, detective arrested her classmate and ex-boyfriend, Adnan Syed, for her murder. Now, for 15 years, Adnan has remained his innocence by saying that he did not do it, although he can't remember what he was doing on that January afternoon, 1999. To make things even more complicated, he was actually put behind bars because of one person, which is his friend Jay, who testified that he actually helped Adnan to bury Hay's body. But the story kept changing and changing and changing, so you gotta listen to this clip.
This is a Global CalLink prepaid call from
Adnan Syed,
an inmate at a Maryland correctional facility.
From This American Life and WBEZ Chicago, it's Serial, one story told week by week. I'm Sarah Koenig. For the last year, I've spent every working day trying to figure out where a high school kid was for an hour after school one day in 1999. Or if you want to get technical about it, and apparently I do, where a high school kid was for 21 minutes after school one day in 1999. This search sometimes feels undignified on my part. I've had to ask about teenagers' sex lives, where, how often, with whom, about notes they passed in class, about their drug habits, their relationships with their parents. And I am not a detective or a private investigator. I'm not even a crime reporter. But yes, every day this year, I've tried to figure out the alibi of a 17-year-old boy. Before I get into why I've been doing this, I just want to point out something I'd never really thought about before I started working on this story. And that is, it's really hard to account for your time, in a detailed way, I mean. How'd you get to work last Wednesday, for instance? Drive? Walk? Bike? Was it raining? Are you sure? Did you go to any stores that day? If so, what did you buy? Who did you talk to? The entire day, name every person you talked to. It's hard. Now imagine you have to account for a day that happened 6 weeks back, because that's a situation in the story I'm working on, in which a bunch of teenagers had to recall a day 6 weeks earlier. And it was 1999, so they had to do it without the benefit of texts or Facebook or Instagram. Just for a lark, I asked some teenagers to try it.
Do you remember what you did on that Friday?
Not at all. I can't remember anything.
Wait, nothing?
No, I can't remember anything that far back.
She took a year to produce, you know, Serial, because there was a lot of fact-checking and, you know, compositing and production work and all. I actually even spoke to the guys from the band Bastille when they were down here, and they're actually huge fans of Serial. And when I asked them towards the end of the interview, like, you know, what do they think about Serial? And very interesting, this is what he had to say.
I thought Serial was just incredible. I think it's I'd never listened to a podcast before. So it was a new thing for me, and we just got back from a trip to New York and I was really jet lagged, and my housemate suggested I download it, and there were 3 episodes out at the time, and it's just amazing in terms of, I listen to it just when I'm going to bed, and it's really engaging. The way that she tells the story is incredible. The amount of research she's done is incredible. The fact that she's on the phone to him in prison, you know, that she goes and retraces the steps of the crime and everything. She goes to all the court notes. It's one of the most fascinating recreations and depictions of a crime. And also, it's interesting that it's kind of, because it was at the end of the 90s, there's a sort of period element to it, but it's also quite relevant to our lives because we were alive then as well. And it's just, yeah, it's amazing that particularly to hear about the American justice system, how it works, you know, how mistrials can happen, all this stuff. It was just, I found it so well done in these short, kind of manageable episodes. The fact that it's, you know, potentially unresolved and it's an ongoing case, yeah. It was so, so cool. And I loved it, and I've literally been waxing lyrical to anyone who listens.
And we'll continue with more of Jeff's favourites right after this for World Radio Day. It's Tech Talk. Matt Aptish from culturepop.com are also here. Tech Talk, BFM 89.9.
Bright flamboyant misfits, BFM 89.9.
In celebration of World Radio Day.
It's Tech Talk, and of course it's World Radio Day. Matt Aptish from culturepop.com and Jeff Sandhu here. We're going through some of the interesting standalone podcasts that Jeff has been listening to.
Yeah. So just now we heard Serial. Mm-hmm. Next up is The Truth. It's actually a podcast that makes movies for your ears. Short stories that are sometimes dark, sometimes funny, but always intriguing. Each story is different. It's usually about 10 to 20 minutes long, so it's perfect for those short rides that you take every day or if you're going on a treadmill. So you have to listen to this clip.
Anything you could say, you can't hurt my feelings anymore because I am in love. Ba-boom!
Oh, you've gone soft, man.
Well, when you stare death in the face and walk away, makes you reevaluate things.
Yeah. You know what? I can't even look at him anymore.
Right. No, don't close the truck! No, guys, let me out!
What? I can't hear you.
At least drive me to Annie's, please.
Hey, I'm home.
Babe, I let myself in. The key works.
Ah. Oh, it's so skinny. What are you making?
Make a little beer steamed mussels with the bacon.
Ooh.
There's so many ways to make radio riveting, isn't it? With the sounds and all that.
Yeah. The best thing about The Truth is when you listen to a short story and you were so intrigued by it, and then you go and tell your friends about it, and the way you describe it to them, it's like you just watched the movie.
Mm.
Because you will be describing the scenes as if you either watched the movie or you were there. So but it's all just done.
Theatre of the mind.
On radio.
Yes.
Yeah. NPR is one of the most popular radio stations in the world, and they have multiple stations and shows for almost every single interest. There's a new show called Invisibilia. It's a Latin word for all the invisible things. And it's about the invisible forces that control human behavior. So it's ideas, beliefs, assumptions, emotions, and stuff like that. They will take you to the real-world consequences of our own expectations. And sometimes it's so powerful that they can overcome physical disability and basically test your assumptions that empathy brings people closer together. Along the way, you will sort of encounter fascinating individuals, such as a man who actually, you know, he sort of merged with his computer, and a woman, who physically feels what other people feel. Now, Invisibilia is a glimpse into a world that you can't see.
Anything can happen on radio.
So we're going to start with a very simple question. What were you just thinking?
Who the hell are you? I mean, that's what I was just thinking.
A cheeseburger? I wanted a cheeseburger.
Going out with my girlfriend.
You have a girlfriend?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
How old are you?
11.
Whether or not this is a nice building, I'm looking to buy a condo here.
Over the last couple of months, we've been asking this question of all kinds of people.
You, come over here.
And who are we? Well, I am Elise Spiegel.
And I am Lulu Miller.
Can I possibly trouble you for about 30 seconds?
And I have to say, on this little thought-finding mission...
What were you just thinking about?
We got just a shocking array of thoughts. We got big thoughts.
What it would be like if there was no stars, just the sun and no moon.
We got small thoughts.
How much I love this BlackBerry I'm typing on.
Musical thoughts.
I had a song in my head. Smile. Oh, when your heart is aching, smile.
But also,
when
sad thoughts.
I'm not good enough.
Worried thoughts.
I was thinking about my sister. I was thinking how I could help her.
Creepy thoughts.
This, very vivid image of me hitting him with a hammer on his head.
So we got all kinds of thoughts.
I'm thinking, why did you ask me what I was just thinking? What did that have to do with what you were putting on the radio?
Right. I've had that thought about the hammer.
Have you? I think about hammers all the time.
You know, one of the things, though, like NPR, the work they're doing, you know, and it's a topic for another day, because they do depend on public funding. And you worry about these things, you know, when you know they've been around for a long time, and we hope that that formula and that business model works. I have to put on the enterprise hat. But anyway.
Well, no, but for sure. I mean, there are regular donation drives for NPR in the US, because their funding does get cut, and obviously they tend to get more funding during a Democratic presidency and less funding during a Republican one. So, you know, it ebbs and flows with the political tides, right. Unfortunately.
Now, what's some of the more direct ways that people can get involved with radio?
Well, you know, what is radio? BFM is a talk radio station that happens to play killer tunes. For a lot of people, they want a radio station that just plays music. Mm. As far as they're concerned, the presenter could just as well be a sugar-crazed monkey. You know, so one of the easiest ways to get involved in radio is basically to make your own station. And although that sounds very complicated, it's actually a lot easier than you think. I mean, we've talked a lot about streaming, music streaming services like, you know, Spotify, Deezer, RDO. And as well as allowing you to cherry pick your own tracks, one of the killer features for these services is they all feature algorithm-based discovery engines, which doesn't sound terribly exciting, but it actually allows you to build your own radio stations and share them with other friends and users. So, for example, you can be fairly straightforward. You can choose a genre, say, you know, easy listening, country, EDM, reggae, or drum and bass. Whatever you choose, you'll get an endless stream of tracks in that chosen style. Or you can pick an artist. Depeche Mode and Mark Lanegan are artists I've chosen in the past. And the service will then pick tracks by that artist and other artists who are similar. Or you can pick a specific track, and then the service will build you an evolving playlist of similar songs. And you can then refine it by giving feedback on each song as they're played, which allows the algorithm to further tune to your taste. And as I said before, you can then share these stations with other people, other users on the service. So effectively, you're creating your own station.
Okay. And as you mentioned earlier, with apps and the internet, radio is now as global as much as a local service. So what are your picks for international stations?
Well, as usual, I'm very kind of British in my choices. When I'm cherry picking, I use the BBC's iPlayer radio app, which allows me to listen to archived shows from across the spectrum of BBC radio. I listen to a lot of comedy shows from Radio 4, the News Quiz, which is a a weekly topical comedy show is one of my favorites. Something I wish that they do something similar in Malaysia. Mm-hmm. Other than that, I listen to Sean Keaveney and Radcliffe and McConey on BBC Radio 6 Music. A couple of grumpy old Englishmen, I don't know if you see the connection,
yes.
Playing a mixture of new and old alternative tracks while they tell kind of increasingly surreal and silly stories. But most often when I'm not listening to BFM, I tune into Triple J in Australia. Mm-hmm. Nobody does youth culture like the Australians. And one of the things I love about the station is that they don't censor any of the tracks. If it's got swearing in, they just tell you that it comes with a language warning. And I really love that approach, treating the audience as though they're adults.
Mm.
And you'll hear hip-hop, electronica, indie pop, EDM, all mixed up together, and there's a really strong emphasis on local Australian talent.
Well, and I think we'll just play a song for, well, it's not Geek Tunes, but it's a song dedicated to radio.
Mm-hmm.
Matt actually picked this one out.
Right. Yep. A lot of people know Steve Earle from his 1980s hit Copperhead Road. He's never actually stopped making music despite stints in jail, drug problems, and even acting jobs in
you
The Wire.
Go, Steve.
Yes. In 2008, he decided to put together folk, country, electronica, and hip hop beats. And this is the result of that experimentation. This is Satellite Radio.
But before we play that, some facts about radio this World Radio Day. In Southeast Asia, Thailand tops the region's charts with about 5,000 community stations, most of them operating without licenses. In Indonesia, community radio has also taken off rapidly, but the number of stations is still in the hundreds. The Philippines, on the other hand, counts more than 55 community radio stations, independent of government and commercial interests, operating outside the cities and using low-power transmitters. And on your drive home today, be sure to tune into the evening edition at 6 p.m. and listen to Caroline and Uma grill our very own big boss man, Malik Ali, on the importance of having young people in a media organization, and you're not going to want to miss that. Happy World Radio Day from all of us at BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.